Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us here on this Wednesday. Poor Sean, another day where technology is attempting to defeat you. That's your response?
That's all I got. Running a little low on sleep, too. I can only stay till about 1:10 this morning, then had to finally turn the TV off, just waiting to find out if... Pennsylvania was still was unaccounted for in the presidential election last night. So,
well, one election note, and I'm not going to get into our election, but in San Diego, because I brought up the topic before, the stadium proposition not only lost, I mean, it really lost. It took because it's a tax increase. California law says you must have a two-thirds vote to pass the tax increase. They were trying to increase the hotel tax in San Diego from 12.5% to 16.5%, with the proceeds going to build a downtown stadium. Well, they didn't get the two-thirds. In fact, they didn't even get the 50%. 57% voted no. 57% voted against it. Overwhelming. I mean, that's overwhelming. So now Dean Spanos, who is the owner of the Chargers, has a big decision to make. He has until January 15th to take a look at everything and declare to the NFL whether he wants to move to Los Angeles or not and be the second franchise there. I think a lot of people assume he will. But based on what he was saying yesterday and what San Diego Mayor Kevin Falconer said yesterday, the move to Los Angeles is not an automatic. But it certainly is something that's got to be on the table. Now, what else can they do there? Well, they could redo the queue, Qualcomm Stadium. Now, access in and out of there is fine. I've been there before for a Holiday Bowl. And, you know, two highways right around it. Parking there is great. It's out in the Mission Valley area. But the stadium also was built 50 years ago. Or you go to Los Angeles, which obviously is an incredibly lucrative opportunity. The Raiders are not going to move in there because the Raiders appear to have put their train on the track to Las Vegas, with still some hurdles to clear, but they've put it on that track and not the track down I-5 to Los Angeles. So they can go to Los Angeles, the Chargers can, but be the second franchise there. Play second fiddle to the Rams who have already started to establish a foothold there. Or you can try something else to stay in San Diego. They have approximately 2 months to make up their mind. They have to declare to the NFL by January 15th what they wish to do. So even though we won't talk about the election, because that's not this show. It's not a political show. That is a slice of politics and sports that we've talked about before.
Yeah, we were lucky enough to get our former terrific colleague Sarah Bartlett on the line, actually on the same day the All-Star Game in San Diego, and she was already painting the picture of a chance that wouldn't go down yesterday, and sure enough, thumbs down.
No, and it was.
Resounding thumbs down.
So, now Dean Spanos, the owner of the team, has a decision to make. And it doesn't, it based on the comments he made yesterday, I don't know if it's in the thought process of defeat or not, but he didn't make it seem like it was an automatic that they were leaving. I don't know. I think they could see the poll. But when you need two-thirds, that's hard. Two-thirds is a hard number to get to. There's certain, I had looked at other states that had ballot propositions. Now, this was not a statewide ballot proposition. It was only San Diego. And all these other propositions I saw that were statewide needed 50%. And most of them were in the, 55-45, 52-48, 57-43. The couple of them got 70-plus percent, but only a couple. Two-thirds is difficult.
Got a caller on the line if you wanted to bring him in. Brian from Elysburg wanted to talk some Penn State.
Good. Hi, Brian. How are you today?
Hey, how you doing, Steve? It's great to
Brian.
Talk to you. Yeah, I've been busy, but it's always great to hear you. That night when they beat Ohio State, I was just getting ready to go to bed, and I had the radio on, and then when they blocked that field goal, I was awake.
No, that will keep you awake, believe me.
Yeah, my buddy Marcus Allen, he blocked that kick, and that was great. That was great because it was about 2 years ago. I had a picture taken with him, and he was finally it was great to meet me and everything for Facebook and everything. And all those guys are great. How's Brandon Mann doing? I heard he's in the hospital.
I think he's getting out today. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. He's eating. So everything's okay. He's doing all right.
Yeah, he'll be fine.
He'll be fine.
He'll be fine.
That's good. And is he coming back this year or probably not?
Oh, I don't think anybody's ready to say anything until they actually get him back on campus. So.
Yeah, okay. Okay, then. And so it looks like it's going to be Chaz Wright probably at tackle again probably this week.
Well, I think if Mann can't go, if Mann can't go, then Wright would be the guy that would be the first guy up. I thought Chaz Wright stepped in last week and played very, very well. He only made the one mistake.
Yeah,
in the
that
game.
One mistake. Yeah.
Yeah, and that was it. Other than that, I don't think they could have asked for more out of him.
Yeah. And I'm shocked this year the way they're playing, and considering all the predictions earlier this year, a lot of people didn't even pick them to go this far. Well, I'm very happy with them, and as you know, predictions never come true sometimes. And
I don't make them, as you notice.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't make them. Here's the reason.
Oh, yeah.
Here's the reason I don't make them.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe in part that's a lesson about last night too.
That's true.
Okay, but this is why I don't make them.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'd rather have it play out in front of me, and then react as I go, as if it's a fresh slate.
Yeah.
As opposed to having preconceived expectations, and then being surprised and sounding surprised. Does it meet my expectations? That's always been my philosophy about how to broadcast a game.
Sure, and I'll just say this one quick thing, and you might say this is pretty good. All my friends always ask me how they're going to do this week. I say, well, I hope for the best, and I hope nobody gets hurt. That's what I always say.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, better believe it.
Yeah, that's right.
You got that right. But, hey, it was good to talk to you. And if I don't talk to you, you guys have a great Thanksgiving. And
Brian, really, to you, and, to you and yours, a happy Thanksgiving. Really, I hope it's filled with lots of family and friends because you deserve that. Yeah. Thank you so much.
You got it, Steve. And it's can't wait for Saturday. I'll actually have the Saturday off. I can't wait to be with my girlfriend. We'll be watching Beat Indiana.
Good. That's great.
Yep. That's right. Turn the sound down and listen to you.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice of you to do, Brian. Thank you.
Oh, you better believe it. Yep. Always do. I've always done that.
Thank you.
All right, Steve. Take care now.
Thank you, Brian. 800-795-9565 is our number. We'll take our first break. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to have you with us. Here on this Wednesday, well, playoff time is coming up, and that means tomorrow's show will have a preview of our high school football games with the roundtable. We had a lot going on tomorrow.
Yeah, we've also invited Todd Hummel, sports writer from the Daily Item. He'll be joining us. We'll get the Jersey Shore perspective from Todd, and we'll also pick his brain on some other games going on, too. Of course, we've got Danville, Montoursville, district title game tomorrow night, Southern Columbia, see if they can stay undefeated.
Mm-hmm.
A lot happening. Of course, Pat O'Brien will be on with us, too.
Mm-hmm. In fact, Nate's on the show tomorrow, too, right?
Yes, Nathan Davis then tomorrow at 4:06, since Bucknell Bison basketball will start Friday night at Soica against Manhattan. Of course, that'll be live on Eagle 107. And the picks tomorrow at 4:35.
Yes. Ty Blackledge on Friday's show.
Yes, excited for that. Working for a couple months to get Todd, so finally made that happen.
Yep, made it happen. That's great. Yeah, he'll be on Friday's show. By the way, another reason to root for the Redskins.
Why is that?
Jordan Hill signed with them today. He's active.
Ah, yes.
Yeah.
I completely forgot he was no longer with Seattle.
Yeah. So.
Duly noted.
Well, I mean, there's only one person here that sides with the boss when it comes to picking these games. I mean, you know, after a while, maybe you should consider your career path. No.
I started to bite my lower lip when we added Dallas Steelers to the pick list tomorrow, but you can't avoid it. So,
wow.
Yeah.
You put it on there, huh?
I did.
Mm. Did you put Arkansas LSU on there? I didn't look.
Yes.
Oh, jeez. Arkansas kills me, and you know that. You know, Arkansas kills me, and you know it. I picked them to beat Auburn, they get killed. I picked Florida to beat Arkansas because they got killed by Auburn, they beat Florida. No, I mean, come on.
You picked LSU to beat Alabama.
Well, you know what? That went against everything I've been saying.
I know. I should have. And I did not bring that up when we were breaking down the games last week.
I brought it up.
You did.
That's why I brought it up. That's how I said it. But I wanted to take a chance.
Yes.
Because I'm trying to make up some ground. So I thought, let's take a chance there.
Your riverboat gambler gene started to flare up there. The spur of the moment.
And it made me lose ground. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Oh. Yeah, we were all 6-2 last week, so pretty much the gap is still there. You're behind him by 7, I'm behind him by 4.
The days are dwindling, my friend. The days are dwindling. I've got to come up with something.
I got to beat this guy.
Maybe when I'm in Connecticut on that Friday. When I'm flying in. Put something in the water. I'll plant at my mom's house. You know, that's where he lives now. He actually lives in the house that I grew up in. Maybe I'll plant phony information in there, right? Showing him, for example, that Ole Miss, even with a backup quarterback has everything you could possibly want to win this next three games. Then pick against Ole Miss each game and win and catch up. Remember what my brother said at the beginning?
Oh, yeah.
It's not that Steve doesn't like to win. He hates to lose.
Wait, I thought he said that about you.
That's what he said. He said about me.
Yeah.
That's what he said about me.
Yeah.
And I said, well, here's my chance to prove it. Yeah, here's an opportunity to show everybody. I play to win. All sorts of phony SEC stats. There's no way in the face of the earth Alabama should win this game based on these stats. I just keep picking Alabama. Today at the end, they're going to have, with Auburn, it's going to be actually an interesting game. Now, I don't know if that's... I am not picking against Alabama the rest of the year. Simple as that. Just not. Okay? Did it once. What's the old saying? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
You betcha.
All right. Eagles, by the way, are going to be playing. Now, what did you have guest-wise today?
We will have Bucknell head coach, women's head soccer coach, Kelly Cook. We will have her on at 3:35. And they play Penn State, first round of the national tournament, Friday night at 6, Jeffrey Field. And, of course, we'll get the Penn State perspective, too.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, so we got a lot going on there.
So, yep, congrats to Bucknell on that Patriot League championship.
Well, see, I think that Patriot League championship is really important to the dynamic of this. They've got momentum going into it. Friday we'll have Zach Osterman from the Indianapolis Star, Todd Blackledge, and then we'll have plenty of Snyders on, Audrey Snyder and Ryan Snyder. Meanwhile, on today's show, we'll have Mike Conti on, talking about the Falcons and the Eagles from the Falcons' point of view. Of course, that's on Eagle 107. So, a lot going on. Thanks to Brian from Elysburg for his call here in the opening half hour. Talking about Penn State. All right. Next half hour, Bucknell Soccer, as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Talk about Bucknell Soccer here in just a few moments. Time now for This Day in Sports History. And on this day in sports history, on November the 9th, first documented Canadian Football League game took place at the University of Toronto in 1861. 1952, the great Maurice the Rocket Richard became the NHL's leading goal scorer, his 325th career goal. He later sent the puck to Britain's Queen Elizabeth. 1965, Willie Mays, the National League's most valuable player. 1971, the NHL granted a franchise to Atlanta. Became the Atlanta Flames, who are now the Calgary Flames. 1972, the great Johnny Busick of the Boston Bruins scored his 1,000th career point with the Boston Bruins. Sugar Ray Leonard retired from boxing this date, 1982. 1984, he came out of retirement. And in 1984, Larry Bird and Dr. J got into a fight during a game. They were both fined $7,500. Dr. J, good left hand. No? All right. We'll talk to Kelly Cook here in a few moments. As soon as we get her on the line. And then we will talk some soccer. Bucknell winning the Patriot League Championship. So. And we'll get into everything with her about her team. And you win a Patriot League Championship. That makes a, you know, and you get some automatic momentum going into any postseason. You know, you've already gone through one and done matches to get there. And they'll get the defending national champion, Penn State, at Jeffrey Field. That'll be Friday night. And we'll get Kelly Cook on the line and we'll talk with her. They've had a great year to do what they've done here. I mean, they're 16-1-2, for goodness sakes. They haven't lost away. They're 9-0-1 away. Not bad. A double overtime tie with Ryder. Lost to Lehigh. Double overtime draw with Princeton. That's it. Beat Army, Lafayette, BU. Not only that, drew well. Lafayette drew over 1,000 and BU drew over 1,300. Not bad. Not bad at all. And played a good schedule. Played a very good schedule. Now, this wasn't just beating Patriot League teams and getting there. No. So they get the big thrilling overtime win over Boston University in the championship. So 6 o'clock Friday night, they will get Penn State at Jeffrey Field. The third NCAA appearance for Bucknell. They were in 2001 and 2005. 20th meeting with Penn State. Fifth Patriot League championship. And the winner of this will face the winner of Monmouth and Virginia.
We've got our broadcast colleague, Doug Birdsong, as we speak, trying to track her down to have her get in touch.
Doug? What are we doing here, Doug? Trying to... Doug, I always love this one. Doug, trying to do a show here.
We should make it clear that Doug is not Coach Cook's official contact person, but he was my liaison to get it set up. So,
least you could have done was save the cell number, Doug. We'll get her on here in a minute. It'll be no big deal.
It's all good.
Well, it's all good for you. I'm filling. Not like you were thrust into that role.
But I'm taking the approach that you would normally take, so I don't fret and stress out. And so,
exactly. It drove the suit nuts.
I know.
It drove him nuts. Look, it's all good. It's fine. Everything's fine. You're like, it's not fine.
I look at myself in the mirror this morning and every morning, and like the receding hairline seems to go a little further back. And it's like, no, if I continue to stress and fret, it's going to get back there quicker. It's like, no, can't have that.
So you're saying ever since you joined this show, your hairline is is that what you're saying?
No.
I'm struggling here with the attempt to keep it in check. My goodness. I mean, the soup blame me for the hospitalization. There's only so many things you guys can blame me for. Wakeman's husband Brad's blaming me for, because now he has to buy expensive gifts. Because I mentioned a bunch of stores the other day. Everybody's blaming me for everything these days. Oh, my goodness. All right. The college football playoff last night, Penn State is now 10. As I pointed out last week, and you try to take an even-handed approach to these things to lend a little perspective as to what you're seeing. And one of them I tried to lend perspective on with that last week was, okay, 12 is a great starting point. It puts you in a better position to maybe, if things go well for you, to get bigger and better things. Because now you don't have to climb and make some climb up and weave your way through 7 or 8 other teams to get there. And so right now they're 10. Now the 4, Alabama, Clemson, Michigan, Washington. But Ohio State's there at 5. I've had a couple of people who say to me, just, geez, Clemson's ahead of Michigan. Irrelevant. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if Clemson's ahead of Michigan at all. Because if they play as the 2 and 3 seeds, you know what 2 and 3 ends up meaning? Okay. Clemson has the choice of jerseys. That's the difference. I hate it. The 2 seed gets the choice of jerseys. We're the home team. We'll wear our orange ones. Okay, great. We'll wear white. That's all it means. That's all it means. Now, Washington gets in there as a 4. And, of course, Alabama is number 1, despite the fact that some idiot picked against them last week. Who might that be? So, yeah. And there's Ohio State lurking at 5. Somebody did ask me today, it was a legitimate question, obviously, about running up the score. I think things are different now compared to the old days in terms of, quote, running up scores to make it look like you're doing something big. And here's my reasoning why. You now have a committee. Now, back in the old days when people voted, coaches and then the writers. Let's take the coaches. In a short period of time, you're trying to get a feel for what everybody did yesterday because you were coaching your game. So you're coaching your game. I mean, how closely are you watching the other game? Yeah, you've probably seen some of these teams on tape because you're either preparing for them or you were playing against a team they were preparing for. But that's, out of 25, how many is that? For writers and broadcasters in the old polls, they would sit there and be covering their game and then try to catch up on other games as to what was going on and then vote. This is different now. And this difference is the fact that with a committee, they're locked into all the games, and almost every game is on TV. So they can see that you had a game in hand, and with second and thirds, you let it slip. Or they can see how the game played out and why it ended up being the score that it was. I don't think there's a need to run up scores anymore to prove anything to these people. I think it's a question of winning and losing now. If you keep winning and your strength of schedule is good, you should be okay.
Steve, we do have head coach Kelly Cook on the line.
Hello, Kelly. Thanks so much for the time. We appreciate it very much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And we're sorry we had to get have a guy like Dud Birdsong end up with your cell number. I mean, we just want to apologize in advance. No, I'm just kidding.
No worries. Doug's a good man.
You put together quite a season this year, Kelly, and you've been able to build a lot of momentum. What have been a couple of key moments, or I should say common threads, that's allowed your team to have sustained success?
Sure. You know, I think a couple key pieces to our momentum. One has been our goalkeeping and our defensive unit. You know, I think looking back on some of the games, the tight ones, our goalkeeper Jessica Ratner was able to come up with some absolute, you know, game-changing saves. And our back line has really limited some of the opportunities that teams who normally have, you know, really dangerous offenses have been able to create against us. So, you know, having a defense and a goalkeeper as confident as they are right now is a huge piece of the momentum. On the flip side of that coin, we have, I'm not sure the exact ranking, but it was second or third offense in the nation. So right. With goal scorers like Kendall Ham and Maddie Mulford and Alexis Gannon, when you're able to keep goals out of the back of the net and you're able to put them in the opponent's net, it's actually works out to be a pretty simple formula.
Jessica Ratner was the Patriot League goalkeeper of the year. What traits does she bring to the pitch that make a difference? Anticipation, eye test, whatever.
Yeah, you know, first of all, I think she's steady. You know, and when you're looking at goalkeepers, you want them to make all the saves that they should make. And Jessica is able, game after game, to make all the standard regulation saves, which is a big piece. And then, you know, each and every game, she always finds a way just to come up with that explosive save, that highlight version. And I think that, you know, is experience, reading the game, and then, you know, not reacting, but being explosive and being proactive on some of the saves that she makes.
Maddie Mulford has 10 goals in this season so far, had a big goal in Sunday's championship game as well. She was a first-team All-Patriot League honoree. What is it about her game that makes her dangerous?
Sure. Maddie's a difficult forward to defend. I mean, she's explosive. She has a drive that, you know, when she gets a ball at her feet, she's figuring out how am I going to score, or if a ball is being served into the box, she's going to do anything possible to get, you know, sacrifice her body to get on the other end of the cross. So she's scored some pretty important goals and big moments for us. And, you know, a lot of them have just been pure hustle, which, you know, something you can't really coach. It's something that's within.
Boston University had won this tournament title 3 consecutive years. Obviously, personnel does change, but what did it mean to your program to clear that hurdle at that moment?
Sure. I think going into it, a lot of the players not pretty fresh on their minds still is losing up at Boston when we played them in the previous year in the championship. We lost 1-0 with about 4 minutes left on the clock. And I think, you know, having that feeling and knowing we beat them in the regular season, we were on our home field here in Lewisburg. And, you know, I think those pieces were huge motivating factors that gave us the confidence that, you know, we could knock off a perennial champion like Boston.
You've had a lot of matchups this year, 5-0, 8-0, 2-0, 3-0, 4-0. This one was tough and was in overtime. So you've had a couple of tests like this, but what did it tell you about the mental makeup of your team that they won a test like this?
Sure. I think the one of the toughest pieces of our championship game was we went down and scored in the second half, and about 30 seconds later, Boston was able to put one in the back of the net. So that emotional roller coaster of scoring and then getting scored on with all and within 30 seconds, it can be a lot for an athlete to handle. But, you know, with great leadership, I think, you know, we were able to refocus and remind her that, hey, we're still in this. And, you know, Boston could have taken a big momentum swing there after scoring the tying goal. But we, you know, didn't allow them to take that momentum, and we carried, you know, into the first overtime. We were able to find a fantastic goal by a senior who, you know, hasn't scored a whole ton in her career, but, you know, she's scored in a lot of moments when it's counted, and having that senior leadership was key.
You had over 1,000 for Lafayette. You had over 1,300 for Boston University. What did that mean to your program to get that kind of attendance at big moments?
Oh, I mean, it was absolutely a fantastic environment. I couldn't think of a better championship weekend. You know, having a beautiful facility like the Emmett Stadium, but looking around, the cool part about the crowd was that there was alumni, there was students, there was a, you know, parent group, there was youth from the local AYSO and NU club teams, and, you know, there just was a huge, diverse group of people all supporting and cheering, and, you know, I think the team really appreciated it. I know I did. You know, I think that also speaks just for the support in the area for women's soccer.
You have a 2-1 advantage for the season in corners against your opponent. How well, in your opinion, have you handled your set pieces this year?
You know, set pieces is something we've been focused on from day one. They can be huge turning points in games, you know, on both sides, being one, good at defending them, and then being able to create and execute them. I mean, you know, they're definitely a huge piece to a women's soccer game. It's, you know, when there's low scoring games, if you're able to capitalize on your set pieces, then you, a lot of times that can be the difference maker. So it's an important focus for us in training and as a program.
Penn State, it's a different set than what they had last year. Britt Eckerstrom and Rocky Rodriguez have moved on from the national championship team, and they've got 5 in the under 20 group now, so they don't have that. But what makes Penn State dangerous to you?
Yeah, they're an experienced team. I mean, I know they've lost a lot in terms of the World Cup and in the graduation, but, you know, they were in the national championship last year. They play in the terrific conference in the Big Ten. And those players have been gone all year, and they've had some great results without having some of those key members from last year's championship team. So, you know, I think those players who are, you know, now getting experience or developing, and you know, they have some high-powered attackers who can put goals in the net. So it will be definitely a tough matchup for us on Friday.
And one of them would be Franny Krause. What's your opinion on her game?
She's pretty good. We played Penn State in the spring, so we did get a chance to see a bit of Franny, and you know, obviously through watching film, she's somebody who you've got to respect and you've got to focus on, and you know, it will be a tall task for our backline and goalkeeper, but I think that, you know, we've put ourselves throughout the year in a position to have to defend some top attackers, so hopefully our experience against some of the better attackers we've played will prepare us for the match.
And your thoughts on Amanda Dennis in goal?
Sure. I think, you know, Amanda's had a good season thus far, and you know, but she is a first-year student, and you know, hopefully that, you know, we can take advantage with our attack and create some opportunities, and you know, just really have to make her make saves. If she can make the saves, then, you know, I think that will be a difference maker. But if we're able to create some dangerous opportunities, hopefully we have a chance to find the back of the net.
Congratulations on your championship. Best of luck Friday night here at Jeffrey Field.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
No, thank you. We appreciate your time very much. All right, back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle's worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com, selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. Top of the hour, Mike Conti from the Falcons Radio Network is going to join us next half hour to preview Eagles and Falcons coming up on Sunday. Falcons have been one of the great stories in the NFL this season, and we'll talk to Mike about that, plus our play-by-play call of the day. Big Ravens-Browns party over at Sean's tomorrow night. Looking forward to it.
Oh, I got to get working on the snacks.
Oh, no. Wakeman's all set. She's bringing a spinach dip. Outstanding.
Tasty.
Yeah. I'll bring beverages from Brewer's Outlet.
There you go.
I mean, it's amazing how we quickly just put the word out. And as soon as they saw Browns and Ravens, man, people jumped. That was a great idea of you to capitalize on a matchup that is so intriguing.
Here to serve.
You have a real sense for the moment.
Sometimes the squirrel gets the nut.
Emphasis on, okay. We'll come back with more after this.